that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Since 1979, TireRack.com has been helping people find the right tires for how, what, and where they drive. They sell only the best, like the full line of Goodyear tires. Test results, ratings, and reviews are there to assist. Or try the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. Tires ship fast and free to you or to one of over 10,000 recommended installers. In many areas, they offer mobile tire installation. Shop Goodyear Tires at TireRack.com.
Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it.
Let's start with LeBron and Durant, because yesterday NBA.com released their annual survey of the league's GMs, and they were pretty unanimous that LeBron and KD are the best players on the planet. The GMs predicted that LeBron would win MVP this season, with Durant finishing second. LeBron was also voted the best small forward, and they said the King is the best leader, the most versatile, and has the highest basketball IQ. And when asked which player they would want taking a shot with the game on the line, the GMs said Durant. So, Shannon, what's your takeaway on how the GMs view LeBron and KD?
They also said LeBron was the best passer, Jenny, but you left that
part.
I know that's a quick read.
Thank you.
Well, I say that almost every day.
So now, so I'm glad you said that. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind. You said LeBron is the best passer.
I say it like every day.
Okay, Skip Bayless. Why are you talking? Again, why are you talking? She asked me. I didn't ask you a question. I didn't even get to a rhetorical part.
I didn't even know I was talking. It just happens.
Exactly. Well, this validates and confirms what I knew to be true all along, that LeBron James is the best player in the NBA. Now, these 30 men, their sole job is to evaluate talent. That's what they're paid to do, Skip Bayless. And these guys could not vote for their own player. LeBron James finished first in 8 different categories. He received at least one vote in 14 different categories. Kevin Durant finished first in 1 category. He finished, got a vote at least in 10 different categories. So what that tells me, well, you know, best power, you know, best small forward, best passer, best leader, highest IQ, greatest leader, and a tisket and a tasket, that LeBron James is universally regarded as the best player in the NBA. Now, you mention all the time that LeBron James is the best passer. These general managers validate and confirm what you've been saying. So now I need you to confirm and validate what I've been saying, that LeBron James is universally, that he's unquestioned.
You just leaped,
unchallenged,
to the wrong conclusion.
Oh, don't do that, Skip. Don't do that. That is so unbecoming of you. That's of someone of your character, of your ilk. That should be beneath you.
Yeah, of my basketball IQ.
But you, but Skip, I've been trying to tell you this. Look at this. Here's a man in year 16. We've never seen anything like this before. Someone in year 16 being regarded as the best player in the NBA, or for that matter, I mean, 7 straight years, Skip, he's been preseason picked to win the MVP. 7 straight. 7.
Okay.
And you argue with me, you want to go back and forth, up and down.
Are we living in the past now, or I don't know what we're doing?
Whoa.
Is this about now or then?
No, hold on. They said in the 20, if I'm not mistaken, these were based on what we expect
now
in 2018.
Yeah.
So he finished number 1 in 8 different categories based on what, Skip? Now.
Now.
He got a vote in 14 different categories, Skip, based
now
on what? Now.
Yeah.
So why are we talking about, look, Skip, see, and the thing that's hard is that when you debating and you make a case for one guy, people automatically leap to the conclusion that you're trying to belittle or berate the other guy. Two things can be true. Kevin Durant is great. Second best player in the NBA. Put the top dog. You know, you put the top. When you go to the grocery store, they put the best of what? Eye level. Eye level. They don't want you to reach for it.
Really?
They don't want you to bend down for it.
I never thought of that.
I know you don't. But see, old stock boy Shannon knows that. I wasn't a stock boy, but I just know certain things. I read. Mm-hmm. It's eye level, Skip. Mm. You turn to your right, to my left. Who in the front?
I don't know.
2-3.
Oh.
2-3.
Okay.
Best leader. You mean to tell me you know Kevin Durant did not get one vote for the best leader, Skip? Mm. I'm trying to figure out how can the best player, now you tell me Tom Brady is not only the best player, he's the greatest leader currently playing in team sport. Mm. I'm trying to figure how can the greatest NBA player not get one vote? Mm-hmm. You mean to tell me 20?
That's a very good question you just asked. Mm-hmm.
Wait, when it's your turn, I want you to answer.
Oh, so wait, you just ask a question.
No, I said, when it's your turn.
Asking it to the world?
I'm asking to, but yes, okay. To all my followers.
Okay.
All my listeners out there.
Seven?
I'm trying, 700,000. Stop hating. Why do you care?
Is anyway, it my turn?
No,
are you asking me another question?
No. All I'm saying is, Skip, is that if LeBron is not the greatest, that 29 people, because your own general manager couldn't vote for you, I don't believe these men to be liars.
Really?
No.
Okay. So, by the way, Jeanine, that's a nice outfit.
That's like so nice.
Too late. Jeanine, tell him it's too late.
Yeah.
That train is gone.
So.
We'll see where he goes.
It is now my turn. And my takeaway from this GM survey, which is now, is that they're finally seeing what I've been seeing, and that is that Kevin Durant has closed the gap on LeBron James. Because last year, LeBron James got 50% of the MVP votes. Mm-hmm. Only 50, that's half. That's a lot.
Yes.
This year, he has plummeted all the way down to only 30% of the MVP votes. Wow, that's actually shocking to me because I do think he's going to win the MVP just because of his circumstance playing with a bunch of kids in castoffs in L.A.
Yeah.
I
love how he plummeted. He was in first place. He plummeted all the way down.
50% of the votes all the way down to 30%.
But what place is that?
And guess what? Kevin Durant's right on his tail. It's 30-27 in MVP percentage, 30%.
When is 27 more than 30?
It's not, but how close is it? It's only 3% off. I'd say gap is narrowing. And then we get to the all-important final category. This is almost at the end of the survey, and they save the best for last. The question is, which player do you want taking a shot with the game on the line? This is it, man. This is clutch city, right?
I love how you take
and
one.
And guess what?
I love it.
Kevin Durant buried LeBron James in this category. 29 general managers, says Shannon Sharpe, and they know what they know.
Yes!
They see what they see.
Yes!
And they gave Kevin Durant 40% of those votes to LeBron's 17%? So 40% to 17 say, I want the ball in Kevin Durant's hands with the game on the line. Whew! So now we've got most valuable, and then we got most clutch. And most valuable is very close, but most clutch is not even close, which I'm saying the pendulum is swinging toward Kevin Durant in this survey, wouldn't you? Because that's significant.
No, it does not, Skip.
Wow, 40%
to 17. I love how they had like 40 different categories. You picked the one category that Kevin Durant won.
I picked the two most important categories, most valuable, most clutch.
So I thought, but you told
period,
me.
Period, end of
hold
story.
On, hold on. No,
all
no, no,
the
no.
rest of it's window dressing.
Oh, so yeah. I'm glad you say that. Mm. So don't ever mention Tom Brady and leadership again, because that's window dressing.
Is he in this survey?
No.
If you put Tom Brady in here, he would get 100% of the
votes. No, he would not. Oh, and let me ask you a question.
Let's put him in.
You know
what,
Skip? I love how you did this. Yeah. Okay, you said most clutch.
I didn't do anything. No. I just.
Okay, you confirmed that Kevin Durant was first on, you know, taking the last shot.
Yeah, 40% to 17.
Okay,
Steph. So only 17% went the ball in LeBron's hands.
Steph
Doesn't that scare you?
If you don't mind me asking, who was second?
I don't remember.
Steph Curry.
We're just talking about KD and LeBron.
Steph Curry. Are those two guys on the same team? Because LeBron tried to take them down. But, hey. LeBron was third. If you don't mind me asking, Jenny, do you know who was fourth on that list? One, Kyrie Irving. The guy that told me, Skip Bayless told me that had saved LeBron's legacy. That was the... Hold on, Skip. The general manager said they would rather have LeBron James.
That's an irrelevant question.
Oh, that is irrelevant.
Oh, are we trying to distract our viewers from what I just said? I think we are.
Well, let me ask you a question.
We're trying to move everybody's eyes away from what I just said. Stated and closed the
you
case on Kevin Durant over LeBron James.
On one category.
But what about Steph? What about Kyrie? I don't care.
Okay,
I care about Kevin.
Let me ask you this. I beat you 8 times in a race. You beat me once. You better than me? Because he won one category. He won one in 40
what
categories.
Are you talking about?
Kevin Durant finished the
front of the categories.
How, well, okay, why is that the category?
I just told you
the because
the
you
category.
Said so?
We could keep going if
okay,
you want.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Then there's this category, best defensive player. LeBron get any votes in that category?
What did Kevin Durant? What did Kevin Durant get? Most versatile defender.
Well, wait. I think it's my turn.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Yes. No, ain't no distraction. I've been waiting for this.
Kevin Durant got votes in the defensive player of the year category. Best defensive player, right?
Who's the most
He got votes. What? I don't care about that. I'm asking you to respond. Why didn't LeBron?
I don't care about that.
LeBron didn't get any votes in that.
I don't care about that.
So basketball is half offense and half defense, and at least Kevin Durant got some consideration for best defensive player, which I've been telling you he is coming toward being that guy. He's up there in the top five.
No. You've been telling me that I'm trying to figure out why is he closing the gap if
so
he's in front of LeBron.
That's another big plus for Kevin Durant. He's got defensive player consideration.
All I'm saying is this. Huh, all I know is that out of the categories, Kevin Durant finished first in one. LeBron finished first in eight. Mm. How does Kevin LeBron, because that's the category that you want. Under that argument, Robert Horry is the best basketball player when he played because he was the most clutch.
Okay, Robert Horry would have never gotten one vote for MVP, not even one. He wouldn't have gotten 1%. He wouldn't have gotten a 0.1% or a 0.001%.
I've been trying to tell you, Kevin Durant is the second best basketball player. You've been trying to validate that he's number one. Now you're trying to make the argument where he closed the gap. Why is he closing the gap if he's the best? You saying he the best. That's what you said.
And by the way, there's another category. Which player would you want to start your franchise with right now?
Yeah.
And guess what? Kevin Durant got more votes than LeBron James.
The mere fact that LeBron is in year 16 and got a vote.
Time out. So LeBron is 33 years of age. Kevin Durant is 30 years of age. So there's not a huge age difference there,
there's
right?
There's 4 years difference three, in league.
Three years in age.
No, league difference.
Okay.
Kevin Durant has gone to two straight NBA finals. LeBron has gone to eight straight. And all the mileage. Skip, don't do that.
All the mileage? I don't know.
Eight straight NBA finals.
Just in a vacuum right here, right now. Well, Magic Johnson, boy, he wanted to start his team
around LeBron.
You
know what, Jenny? I'm trying to figure out. Kevin Durant is so clutch. He's so clutch. He closed the game. He closed the deal. He had a chance in game 5, 6, and 7, up 3-1 against Golden State. To hit a shot, to be clutch, to be a defender, and close the deal. Skip Bayless, if you don't mind me asking, can you tell the people at home what happened?
What happened in game 3 the last 2 years?
No, Skip. Can I get you to answer one question? Just one question.
I don't remember.
What happened?
Remember the
you
game.
Do, because I was on your show.
Tell me what happened.
No, I was on your show, because remember I told you I was going to the parade. I told you I was going to the parade.
You
remember?
I do.
Okay.
But you also switched your pick at the last second, and you did not pick the Cleveland Cavaliers.
They're going to that parade.
You chickened out.
I chickened out.
You folded.
All I'm asking you is this. LeBron James is number one in 8 different categories.
Some of them are like best small forward, best power forward.
Okay, hold on. Position? Hold on, if you don't mind me asking.
I have
position
no
does
idea.
Kevin Durant play?
None of that makes sense.
What position does Kevin Durant play?
I don't know. I guess they think he's the center. I don't know
you
what
know
they
what Skip Bayless.
He was fifth in the league in blocks last year. I don't know.
Skip, now all of a sudden you want to let the people know that you don't know anything about basketball. You don't even know the position Kevin Durant plays. You know what he plays. He's a small forward. If you don't mind me asking, who is the number one small forward?
I think it was LeBron.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
You got all the notes right there. You wrote them all down.
So why would it be 30-27 in MVP consideration, but all of a sudden LeBron's the best this and the best that? It doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't
go together. Maybe they got a different group of voters on that one, right?
Skip, what you mean is a different group of voters? You've been telling me that Kevin is better. Everybody that's come up here has told you, from Magic Johnson to Chris Haynes, who knows the NBA very well. All the players come up here and tell you, but that's not what you want to hear. The general manager.
What is Magic Johnson going to tell me when he thinks he can land LeBron James? What's he going to say?
Okay, what about these general managers? They can't land him. What about the players?
What have they told you about Kevin Durant? He is a cold-blooded killer in the clutch. LeBron is a supremely talented, nice guy.
So what are we going to do?
He's a nice guy.
What are we going to do about those last shots in the playoffs this year? What are we going to do about those clutch shots? What are we going to do about them, Skip?
Well, that's an interesting question because in jump shot walk-offs, it took LeBron 6 years before he finally made one. And I can show you time and again when he ran from the free throw line at the end of the game by jacking up long threes.
All I'm asking you, you're talking, hey, then you going back, Skip?
You made two.
You're going
no, back well, too far. We're just looking at his career.
We're not talking about right now.
This is his legacy. This is why he only got 17% of the votes. 17%.
You told me I couldn't go back. You're talking about what have you done for me lately?
No, but they're looking at who do you want with the ball in his hands, and they're looking at the history of each player. Mm-hmm. That's where you have to factor in what have you seen over time.
Right.
And what you've seen is that LeBron at the free throw line last
Kevin Durant's a better free throw shooter. He's a better three-point shooter.
LeBron's a 57% free throw shooter with the game on the line last 5 seconds overtime.
Who has more game winners? Mm.
I don't know, but LeBron's played, as you said, so many more.
Oh, not now. So now that's the argument. Now, when I tried to tell you before, it's like, well, they won't take Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. LeBron has been in the league 4 years longer, and he's gone to 8 straight finals, and you're sprinkling a couple Olympics in there. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant has gone to 2 straight finals. Mm-hmm. Really, Skip?
2 straight MVPs.
Look here. First of all, if LeBron James had ever blown a 3-1 lead, regardless of who it was to, we would never, ever let him live this down. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant had a 3-1 lead. And you know why they don't
care? LeBron James has gotten swept twice in the finals and 5-gamed once. Really?
But let me ask you, but how is that
you
up
like
three?
That?
Up.
Huh?
Kevin Durant got 0 votes for leadership. Yeah. 0.
That's
why
wrong.
Is that, Skip?
That is just
because they
wrong.
Say you can't be a leader when you go join a 2-time MVP. Can't be a leader when you go join a 73-9 team.
Yep.
How is that leading?
So it's
you can't lead, Skip, if you're already in the front.
After game 4, the first round of the playoffs this year, big turnaround game for Golden State against the New Orleans Pelicans. One Andre Iguodala said after the game that Kevin reminded me of MJ in this game. He said, I don't like that comparison, but he got to his spots and there is nothing you can do about it. And when you see that look in his face, it carries over to the rest of the guys. And we can, in turn, take that to the defensive end and get stops and go back and do the same thing because it's just the rub-off effect of Kevin Durant on that team. He was the difference maker. He is the best player on a Warriors
team.
We're
not arguing that. No, we're arguing best player in the league. And again, like you just asked me, Magic Johnson thought he had a chance to sign LeBron. So what was he supposed to say? Andre Iguodala plays with Kevin Durant. What's he supposed to say?
Well, he also said that he's the most talented scorer of all time, hands down. He's a walking 30 points. He'll get 30 on 12 shots, said Andre
Iguodala. Well, we have never seen Kevin Durant, but we've seen LeBron do it.
Woo.
Skip, just because someone says something doesn't mean it make it true.
Hmm.
You like Orwell, right? George Orwell.
Not really, but
you don't like him? But he said, Skip, he's had a quote, I think it's something like this, and don't quote me on this, but I think it goes something like this. He said, lies that goes unchecked get chronicled as truth. So you keep reiterating what Andre Iguodala says. Mm-hmm. Andre says this. Andre says that. I'm going to check you every time.
Are you saying it's a lie?
I'm checking you every
time.
Did
you just call Andre Iguodala a liar?
I'm saying he misspoke the truth.
You just said Iggy's a liar.
I said he
misspoke
the truth.
On live national TV.
Live.
Really?
I don't do tape TV.
Huh. Most guys need to feel the ball in their hands to get a lot of rhythm. Not Kevin. That's what Andre said.
Have you seen LeBron?
He said, KD is a 7-footer who can hit a hezzy pull-up from 50 feet out.
That's his unstoppable move. Is that a lie? I'm not denying that.
Thank you.
Have you seen those game winners that LeBron hit? Did you see where he's pulling up from in the playoffs, Skip?
I saw him in his 15th season, and he made one in regulation against Jimmy Butler. That was a good one. That was big. Of course, all these games are tied.
So see what he did? You see what he did?
These are all tied games.
You see, everything got to be a caveat. Well, Skip, let it go.
I can't let it go. And then we know what happened against Oladipo, because LeBron goaltended his shot.
No, he didn't.
And the Pacers are all looking at the referee like, what is up with this? You're not going to call goaltending? And LeBron goes to the other end and makes the game winner. Way to go, LeBron.
Well, then he
shoots the runner against the rookie. Anunoby, remember?
Yeah, I remember that.
It's the runner, and he, I don't think he called glass
he called,
on that.
He called game.
I think it was just one of those, whoops.
Ball game.
I accidentally made it off the
ball
glass.
Ball game.
Really?
Swept a number one seed.
Interesting.
Swept the number one seed.
Tie game. No real pressure, because if you miss, you go to overtime. But game one of the finals this year, ball in hand, top of the circle, switch. He's got Steph Curry, little 6'3" Steph Curry is on him. just pull up and shoot it. Wait a second. What's the circumstance? You're down one. It's make or miss. It's do or die, right? Mm-hmm. No, he's not going to shoot that shot. He's going to pass it to George Hill?
Skip,
why are we doing this?
Why everything?
That's why they don't want the ball in this man's hands.
That's not what they said, Skip. They didn't say they didn't want to. They just, more general manager, prefer Kevin Durant.
40% to 17?
And I can't say that I disagree.
Remember what happened when Kevin Durant did the hezzy pull-up on LeBron in the first game two years ago?
Yes.
He just pulled up and shot it right in his face.
Okay.
It was game over.
That's still one category.
Whoa.
But Skip.
That's the category to me.
Why is that? Okay. See, I love how you do that.
That's the Michael Jordan Memorial category.
Now,
Michael Jordan Memorial category goes to Kevin Durant.
But here's the thing. This is what you would have done. Had LeBron won that category and Kevin Durant was the MVP, you said, see? Yeah, he's clutch, but the general manager says Kevin Durant's the best player. But now, see, you want to use that one caveat, that one, he's more clutch. LeBron won eight other categories. Eight! And Kevin Durant didn't get a vote in leadership.
You know, he's going to get IQ because I always tell you he's got the highest IQ in basketball. LeBron
Kevin Durant
does.
Play basketball?
I always say he's the best passer, so he's going to win that. I don't even get the small forward, power forward. That's just lunacy to me.
Why?
What are you talking about?
So what position did Michael Jordan play? Was he a center?
No.
Okay, then. So it's not lunacy. Oh, come on, Skip.
I don't know what you're talking
about. You do know what I'm talking about. So now all of a sudden positions doesn't matter.
I'm going to give you one category in this. There was one category you did not point out, and I'm going to have to help you make what's left of your argument because you completely swung and missed.
What?
But the one category is which player most forces the opposing coach to make changes, to make adjustments.
Yeah.
And LeBron dominated that category over Kevin 60% to 7%. And I'm saying, why? He makes you change what? LeBron? Because Kevin's the guy with the unstoppable shot.
That's not what
LeBron.
They think.
I don't know.
That's not what they think.
I'm going to give you that one, but it's a head scratcher.
Don't give it to me. Give it to LeBron.
You know, I think that you can't adjust to Kevin. It's like he doesn't even qualify for the category because
there's nothing
you can do. You could put five guys on him, and he's just going to rise up and make another jump shot. That's what it is.
Then why didn't it?
7 feet who can shoot.
So, hello.
LeBron's 6'9", who can't shoot.
Okay, this is what I'm – well, help you. Maybe you and Iggy can help me do this. Harry's the most talented scorer. He can get you 30 on 11, 12 shots. He has the most unstoppable shot in all of basketball. He can hezzy pull up from 50. Why couldn't this guy up 3-1 close the deal, win you one game? He's clutch. He can't win you one game?
Well, he was handicapped.
I'm not going to let you do that to Russ. I am not going to let you do that to Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook demands more credit. I think
Kevin did that to Russell Westbrook because I told you what he decided. I cannot win a championship with that man as my primary decision maker and ball handler.
Well, Russ might be saying the same thing.
Huh.
Because you run for the moment.
Okay, I'm just saying that's what Kevin decided, and that's why he said, I'm going to Golden State.
I don't begrudge Kevin for leaving, but don't pretend like he wasn't up 3-1. Maybe that wasn't Kevin Durant then. Maybe he wasn't 7 foot tall. Maybe he grew once he got to Golden State.
Yep.
Maybe he didn't have that heavy pull up.
Huh. Well, who got to choose whether he got to shoot? Every time down the floor, who got to choose? Russell Westbrook got to choose. Now he went to a team that shares the basketball. But that team knows that its bread is ultimately buttered by that guy 35.
And the NBA knows that their bread is buttered by 23 in the purple and gold.
Shannon.
The purple and gold.
Gap as closed.
If only we had time to debate all 49 of these questions.
49?
49. Yeah.
And look, and you mean to tell me KD only
best dressed went to Jenny Taft.
Yeah. Yeah. Home team be putting it down.
Way to go.
The compliments today. It's throwing me off my game, Skip.
It's coming, Jenny. I'm telling
you. It was there. It was the last category. You got best dressed in the NBA.
I'm going to take it.
You know Judas kissed Jesus.
And then he just calls him out. All right, Tom Brady and Drew Brees can both make history this week. But who has had the more impressive career? This is going to be fun. Next. No mercy. Ezekiel Elliott was dealing with ankle pain against the Lions on Sunday, but he still had one of the best performances of his career, racking up 240 total yards and a touchdown. He's currently leading the league in rushing almost 100 yards ahead of the second place guy, Todd Gurley. Through 29 games in his career, Zeke is on a historic pace to pass Jim Brown's all-time record of 104.3 rushing yards per game. Shannon, will Zeke be an all-time great running back?
It's only 29 games in. True. But before I address that, Skip, can we address this? Can we start with this? Now all of a sudden, Zeke is dealing with knee and ankle pains. Zeke has yet to show up on the injury report. Not week one, because I made sure. Mm-hmm. Me and my trusted researcher, Steve, we went back.
You got it.
We went back because I wanted to see.
I think you have a whole team.
No, don't worry about what I got. We need to stop worrying about this, Skip. Mm-hmm. We're heavily compensated, so I got some of the best researchers in all the land.
Yep.
We went back and we scoured and we looked. Week one, no Zeke. Week two, no Zeke.
Okay.
Week three, week four, no Zeke. Mm-hmm. Now, if Zeke is dealing with this and he's not on the injury report, the NFL is going to want to know why. Mm-hmm. Because in 1998, the Broncos got fined because we knew John Elway wasn't going to play on a Monday night game in Kansas City. Bubby did. Now, me and my big mouth, Jenny, I'm saying we knew all week that John wasn't going to play.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know you.
You got your team busted?
I dry snitched, yes.
Whoa.
Cost us 15 grand.
Wow.
So
did it come out of your check?
Nah, it can't. It come out my check.
Wow. You were responsible.
I was. You're right, Skip. I clear. I dry snitched, and I felt bad.
So you owe the Broncos 15 grand. That's a drop in your bucket. You should send him a check.
But anyway, if Zeke Elliott has been dealing with these ankle and knee injuries and not showing up on the injury report, you know, the NFL is going to want to know why. Hmm. Now, back to their original question. Can Zeke be an all-time great? Yes, because he has that ability. And this is why they drafted Tyron Smith in the first round. This is why they drafted Travis Frederick in the first round.
He's Zach not playing right now, but go ahead.
This is a running football team. Mm. Look at the quarterback that Jim Brown had.
Mm.
Look at the quarterback that Eric Dickerson had. Look at some of the guys. But, God, can we slow down Jenny?
Yeah.
This is 29 games.
True.
Jim Brown played 118 games. So back then, Jim, there were 12 games in the regular season.
Yep.
Jim Brown played 9 years. Mm-hmm. So he played every single game for 9 years. So Zeke has 5.5 more years to get to 118. There have been a lot of guys. The guy that sits right next to us a couple of times a week, Skip, Eric Dickerson, at 29 games, he was averaging 119, which is 14 more yards per game rushing than Zeke.
Yep.
Eric Dickerson had over 3,900 yards in his first 2 years. Mm. I played with a guy, and I said this. Mm. Had he stayed in Denver, he'd be a Hall of Famer. Mm. Clinton Portis, 3,100 yards, 31 touchdowns, 29 games. How did that work out? There have been a lot of guys over 100 yards. Oh, let me see. Eric Dickerson, 119. Clinton Portis, 104. I think Zeke is at Clinton Portis, 107. Mm-hmm. I think Zeke is at 104 and a half. Chris Johnson, 102. Edgerrin James, 100. That's the first 29.
Mm.
But you know, Skip, there's a reason why they are very hesitant to give running backs contract after the age of 25, 26.
Mm.
Because that wear and tear.
Mm-hmm.
There's something called a pounding. Mm-hmm. There's something called carries. Mm-hmm. You start getting 300, 350, 400. Now, all of a sudden, you're not that same guy anymore.
Why is Le'Veon sitting out right now?
Yeah, he's like,
save himself.
Yeah, I didn't put another 400 touches on my body.
Nope.
So, Skip, does he have the ability? But there's a reason why there have been so many that started ahead of the pace of Jim Brown at some that. Year five, year six, year seven, they come back down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just hold off about him breaking Jim Brown's record as far as most rush yards per game. But can he be a Pantheon great running back? Absolutely.
Absolutely. So two quick points before I answer Jenny's big picture question.
Sure.
Ty Smith and Travis Frederick and Zach Martin were drafted to protect Tony Romo, paper mache Tony in the pocket. That's why they were drafted. Period. End of story. Because they were drafted before Ezekiel Elliott was drafted.
Who was the running back?
It just didn't matter.
DeMarco Murray.
Everything was based around, built around paper mache Tony Romo. That's what it was. I'm sorry, that's what he was.
I know, but that name. Yeah.
Who has the most rushing yards in a single season in Cowboy history when the guy that has the most rush yards in
that was by accident.
How did it by accident, Skip?
Yeah, you had Tony flinging it all over everywhere, and they were pretty good.
No, do that, Skip. Why would you do that?
So the other point is, obviously, Zeke is not worthy of being on the injury report because Stephen Jones, in the interview he gave yesterday, is just operating with gamesmanship. He's trying to make Houston think, well, maybe he's iffy or whatever. He's got bursitis in his knee, and he's got an ankle problem. He had the ankle problem mid-game on Sunday. Then what happened? He kept happening.
Ain't nothing happened because ain't nothing wrong with Zeke.
Thank you very much. So I'll go with that. Now back to the question. Here's my big picture point. Ezekiel Elliott is better than Emmitt Smith. Just in a vacuum, he's just better. And I covered Emmitt Smith for years in Dallas, so I know what I speak of here. Ezekiel Elliott is bigger. He's faster. He's stronger overall. He runs more strongly than Emmitt ran. And he has better hands than Emmitt, although that year in 95 when Emmitt was so special, he caught 62 balls. That's a lot of balls, but they are all little flip passes, little swing passes, little safety valve passes. He can't do what Zeke did to win the game Sunday, which is to run a route out of the slot and go down and catch it over his head.
Okay.
So given all that, I'll take Zeke in a vacuum. One game for my life, I'm going with Ezekiel. But Emmitt, well, let's just put this in context right now. As we speak, Ezekiel Elliott is exactly this far behind Emmitt Smith's rushing total for his career, 15,316 yards. That's the margin between Emmitt Smith and Zeke. And if you just take that margin alone, that's the third highest rushing total in league history. So he would, from this point forward, have to have the third most rushing yards in the history of the NFL to catch and pass Emmitt Smith.
Correct.
That is a staggering amount of yards.
Right.
And why did that happen? Because I've told you before, Emmitt, built low to the ground at 5'9"-ish, had this incredible ability to make people miss in tight spaces.
Oh, you weren't getting a clean shot on him.
I've never seen anything like it before, but he just had that little knack, that survival, that little wiggle
yes.
in the hole where nobody ever got the quote-unquote kill shot, the direct shot.
You're absolutely
and he
right.
never put himself in that precarious position where all of a sudden you get bent over, pretzeled, whatever. He was always ducking and darting behind what might have been the greatest offensive line ever during those two or three years. And he utilized it because he would duck and dart and be free of that offensive line and 8 yards into your secondary before you found him.
Yep.
And again, the reason he fell in the draft is because he ran 4.6 at the combine. Well, every combine I see guys, you know, I see defensive linemen running 4.6, right?
Yeah.
But with a football under his arm, he was pretty hard to catch and really hard to hit and bring down. So he lasted. The durability and the longevity were staggering to me.
No running back currently playing, Skip, is going to have 15 years
you
with the amount of carries on his body
to
get
that. You just can't do that. So his yards per game kept falling because he kept hanging on, and he went to Arizona for two years after a bad year in Dallas. So his yards per game fell to 81 for his career. But the yards are just – it's just incomprehensible. It's 18,355 yards. Well, Zeke will never even dream of getting that far because I must say, I hate to say, Ezekiel Elliott's he's high collision.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's quite Adrian Peterson, but he's in the ballpark with Adrian trying to run people over because when in doubt, he will duck his head. You know what? He'll lower his shoulder. He'll do whatever it takes to get that third and one and a half. He'll fight for that extra half yard, and he'll take punishment.
This is why I don't think he'll break Jim Brown's record. See, Zeke has a problem that's not football, that's not on the field related.
That's a whole nother issue. Yep.
Because, see, you think about it, Skip. He's already missed how many games? Six.
Yes.
So you look at ED, didn't have these issues to worry
he
about.
He did not.
So most of these guys, they didn't miss games for personal reasons, for personal problems, for off-the-field issues.
Nope, I got you.
So that's going to wait. Now, that might help him out because guess what, Skip? Like you said, Emmitt started playing 2 years, and it kept coming down. But maybe missing some games, take some wear and tear off his body. But with the way this offense is set up right now, Skip, with his ability, I give you that. He can run. He can run through tackles. First step is good as it comes.
It's just and he's got – like shocking acceleration for a big for 225, where all of a sudden you're like, whoa, he hit another gear.
Yes.
He's off to the races.
And,
right?
And that offensive line, they maul people. And that's what Dallas did in the mid-90s, Skip. They leaned on you with Tuane and Big Easy and all those, Nate Newton, Stepnowski, they were
Eric
Kevin
Williams.
Gogan. I mean, they were loaded.
They were loaded with offensive linemen, which is why I told you going into this year, I give Zeke a far better shot at breaking Eric Dickerson's single season record, which is staggering in and of itself. It's 2,000. It'd take 2,106 yards to break it.
Right.
Zeke is ahead of that pace right now, but Eric, if you go look at what started happening mid-year, then late year, he started taking off, and he had some monster games, yeah. Four or five of them. Is Zeke capable of those games? Yes, he is.
Yeah.
But again, I got to knock hard on this wood. He can't have bursitis in his knee and turned ankles and, you know, whatever else, knick-knack.
Well, eventually teams are going to force Dak to beat him. Mm-hmm. And you hear what Landon Collins says, and that's the prevailing theory mm-hmm. around the league, Skip. We got to find a way to shut that running game down, because everything they do is predicated off that. If you look at during the season this year, forget the last 2 years. When Zeke was – look at – they won two games. Mm-hmm. Look at when Zeke's running the football well, and Dak can play action off mm-hmm. of that. That's how he got that big touchdown to Tavon Austin, second player of the game. Mm-hmm. You look at Sunday, his first game over 200 yards. That's because Zeke is grinding it out. So if I'm a team D coordinator, 2-1, you're mm-hmm. not going to be eating today, bro. Mm-hmm. Hope you had a belly full before you got to work, because mm-hmm. you will do no eating today.
You know
today.
What I want to see? I want to see Four eat with the football in his hands. Boy, I want to see Four run the read option and pull it back out and keep it six or seven times.
I don't believe he can beat me running the ball.
Yes, he can.
I don't believe he can.
He can gash you. He can get 10 yards a carry.
Paper cut.
Six or seven carries, 60 or 70 yards, and all of a sudden you're saying, uh-oh, we can't crash the defensive end down on
all
Zeke
those
anymore.
Guys other than Zeke Elliott give you paper cuts. Mm-hmm. That 21 send you mm-hmm. to the trauma center. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worried about Dak running. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about Dak throwing the ball mm-hmm. to Gallup and Hearns and all those other guys.
First down, another first down.
Like you said, mm-hmm. you want to see this.
Mm-hmm.
What's Dak move? What's Hearns move? You ain't want to see anything else. You just want to see this, because you know what comes after that. Mm-hmm. Play action pass.
Mm-hmm.
So
I want to see
that?
Four.
Social media.
I did it. Because I was celebrating.
I know you were celebrating.
And you know what my caption was? I'm going to have somebody for breakfast.
Oh, yes.
But
guess what?
Somebody.
But guess what, Skip? All that, it took a historic mm-hmm. performance. Zeke's greatest performance as an NFL player. Mm-hmm. It took that and a last second field goal to win by two. So what happens if he doesn't have that
Matt
kind of
Stafford
performance?
Is really good.
Don't do that, Skip. Matt
Stafford shredded Bill Belichick the game before.
One game.
Oh, really? One game?
Yeah.
One okay. What your guy, the guy who gets 75% of the credit
75.
In New England, got shredded, humiliated, and embarrassed by Matthew Stafford.
And what did he do to, Tannehill?
Well, what does it matter? I'm just saying this.
Well, what does it matter? He got shredded by Stafford.
We had to deal with the hometown boy returns. Matt Stafford comes back to Dallas. Mm-hmm.
He wasn't home, though.
Yeah,
now, if y'all had beat him in Detroit, because you remember what happened last time y'all went to Detroit, right? Mm-hmm. 339 happened, Calvin mm-hmm. Johnson happened, mm-hmm. and Matt Stafford, you know, did y'all in.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see
it. He's done us in a bunch of times. Yeah. He nearly did us in the other day.
And now somebody going to do y'all in on Sunday night.
Okay. I'm good.
Two cases of doing.
I'm good. No, just one.
Come on, Skip. You ain't
solid one. No, I'm good.
See, I see what you're doing here.
Well, I'm
one
not
by
doing
one.
Anything.
No, you tried to make me go one by one. I gave you like five here, three there.
Just give them all back. But I'm good. No mercy.
Big showdown in the NFL. The Cowboys visit the Texans Sunday night in a matchup of two promising young QBs. Both Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson had incredible rookie seasons, but since then, they've both struggled to live up to the hype. Dak threw for over 200 yards last week for the first time since last season, while Watson is off to a 1-3 start, has turned the ball over five times in four games. Shannon, who's better, Dak or Deshaun?
I would take Deshaun right now, and probably for the foreseeable future. Deshaun averages 268 yards passing a game. Dak is 215. That number, if you were to factor in this season, Deshaun's over 300 yards passing.
Mm-hmm.
Dak's under 200.
Yes.
This is what I didn't know. Deshaun Watson almost outrushes him per game by 2-1. It's 39 rush mm-hmm. yards per game to 20. I didn't know it was that big of a gap, Skip.
Whose fault is that? How about my play caller's fault?
Well, doesn't see. Mm-hmm.
Well, you brought it up. I'm just saying. What do I pound the table for every week?
Yeah. I just believe.
Run him.
True.
I just believe seeing Deshaun play. He grew up about 30 miles from where I lived in mm-hmm. Gainesville, Georgia.
Yep.
Maybe 40. He's a better thrower of the football than Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. Dak has a better running game, better offensive line. I just think. In a passing league, the better passer probably is going to be the better of the quarterback. Mm. And because I think Deshaun Watson is a better quarterback, throwing the ball from the pocket, throwing the ball on the move, I would take Deshaun Watson over Dak Prescott as my quarterback.
So, This is almost an impossible question for me because you know how much I love both of these.
You do.
And I was on the record ahead of a year ago's draft. The Cleveland Browns are going to make a huge mistake if they don't take Deshaun Watson. And I still think they made a huge mistake as much as I like Baker Mayfield. But Deshaun Watson showed us in back-to-back national championship games
what
he is made
of. Tell the truth why you really like him, Skip.
Because he ain't nicked St. Nick.
Yeah, exactly.
But he did. He put it on it, man. Because he threw for 405 in the first game that they lost, but it was four touchdowns. In that game, he ran 20 times for 73 yards. That's pretty good against St. Nick's defense. And then in the one that they won, he threw for 420 yards, three touchdowns, and ran it for 43 more yards. But the point is, that was just playmaking supreme. That was just poise and confidence and whatever that intangible, that's a winning intangible that you have. Now, what did Deshaun do at Clemson that neither one of us liked? He threw a whole bunch of interceptions because in those last two years when he was a starter at Clemson, he went 13 and 17 interceptions, and that combined, those 30 interceptions led Division I for those 2 years. Mm-hmm. Not a good sign, not a good predictor of NFL success. Am I right?
Yes.
So what have we seen so far in the NFL? He throws interceptions. He's 26 touchdowns to 12 interceptions, while you know, Dak has been much better on the interception front. But if you just look at the overall, Dak's 49-19 in touchdowns, interceptions, and he's had a couple rocky stretches here of late because he didn't have any weapons. But who's the more successful starter so far? Just the winner? Well, Dak's 24-12 as a starter. That's pretty good.
Yeah. You know?
And so far, Deshaun is 4-6 as a starter, and Deshaun got hurt. And the one thing I like about Dak is, boy, he's a bull, man. He's 6'2". What do you say? I think he's 250, but he says
they list him at 229.
Oh, do they? I thought it was 238. That's what I saw today. But whatever.
We'll give him 240. We'll split the difference.
He is a big, strong man, and he can take a beating, and he can also dish it as well as he can take it. Mm-hmm. So the point is, I think on durability, I'm going to take Dak. So overall, I disagree with you on throwing the football. I don't think Deshaun's a better thrower of the football than Dak Prescott. Dak's got a little stronger arm, and I think he's very accurate. But look at weapons. Look, you ever heard of DeAndre Hopkins? Mm-hmm. You think he's any good? Well, Deshaun has benefited from having a DeAndre. Dak does not have a DeAndre.
Well, he had a Dez.
Oh, did he? That was a liability last
year. Whoa, I'm just telling you.
Maybe as a rookie, he was pretty good.
Well, it's hard for Deshaun to throw the ball to DeAndre Hopkins when he doesn't have an offensive line because he's constantly on the move.
Okay. And I'll give you this. He is quicker and faster than Dak. I don't know if he's a more effective runner because they just don't let Dak run it enough. But keep him going down those weapons. Will Fuller, is he better than any other wide receiver?
Huh? He stay hurt.
Okay, but is he good? He's really good. And did you see that Kiki Cutie, Texas Tech kid?
That was impressive.
He caught 55 balls from Patrick Mahomes 2 years ago, but against Andrew Luck and company up in Indy the other day, that was the first game he's been healthy. He's a fourth-round rookie pick.
Right.
Deshaun targeted him 15 times, and he caught 11 balls for 109 yards. Mm-hmm. Dallas doesn't have that. There's nobody. I got measly Beasley, but that's about all I got.
Well, that's my point.
Okay. Yep.
That's why I say this should be a running team because you haven't given the weapons to Dak to make sure he succeeds. Yep. Deshaun has weapons, and I believe that Deshaun is a better natural thrower of the ball, considering he threw the ball a lot more in college as opposed to Dak. Dak was more of a zone read at Mississippi State. So that's why I'm gonna give him a slight nod right now. Maybe we overvalued Deshaun because, you know, he played those great games. He went up there and he dueled with Tom Brady in New England. He lost on the last second throw. He went to a Seattle and then threw for over 400 yards.
Did.
Like, well, this league is hard. This
so
league
it's
catches
the
up.
Patrick Mahomes syndrome. Yeah. It's like wait and watch a little bit more, right?
So like you did with Dak.
Okay.
Oh, his season. You're like, whoa, you put him in the Hall of Fame. You took his whole uniform. You put his whole uniform up to Canton. Mm-hmm. It's in the Hall of Fame now.
It was the greatest rookie quarterback season ever. You can't find one better. You just can't because not that many get a chance to start as a rookie. And nobody can go 13-3. What was he, 23-4 touchdowns, interceptions?
Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Led the league in QBR most of the year until the very
No.
Well,
no,
he
no,
did. No. He led it until the last game, and it was a giveaway game because they had already wrapped up the division. So he goes out at Philadelphia and stinks it up
what
a little
good
bit.
Is who, we've yeah. seen, you watch track and field, especially during the Olympics. Mm. It doesn't matter. He races. It doesn't matter who crosses the finish line first. Mm. That's how we measure winners.
Yeah.
Who crosses the finish line
first? So as a rookie, finished third in QBR after leading for, what is it?
We don't do participation.
Weeks. Oh, okay.
Nah, we don't do, now Skip, I keep telling you this. Mm. You don't win the bronze medal.
Mm.
You lose the gold medal.
What if the last game had stakes attached to it? He would have won the QBR.
We don't know that. Skip, we can't say that.
Yes, we can.
Well, what if JR would have turned around and put the ball in the basket?
What if LeBron had taken the shot and made it? Would you not have been in heaven?
No.
You would have been in LeBron heaven.
Because
did you see what he did? He finally made a walk-off that mattered because they were down one.
We seen him hit the walk-off.
Huh?
Against Indy. It matters.
Tied.
I guess, don't do that.
Tied.
Don't do that, Skip.
Tied.
No, you ought to be
safety net, safety net, safety net.
Like Kyrie's was a safety net. They were tied.
Okay. I'll give you that. But nobody could make a shot, and all of a sudden he said, okay, I'm done with this. Watch this.
No. We're not going to do that. Nobody can make a shot because Indiana had a mile of the comeback. Couldn't nobody make a shot. Mm. Bron said, give me the ball. Mm. Pull up from 30.
Mm.
Yakup.
Mm.
Drive. Hey. Ty Lue said, hey, Bron, I want you to take this ball at the end of the court. Bron said, I got you.
That was a good move by Ty Lue. Of course, he's being guarded by a rookie.
Everybody.
A rookie.
LeBron put that thing, hit it with the crossover like this, he'll put it left hand.
Yeah.
Hug up there. Skip, this for you.
Did he? I'm going to call glass. I'm not. I'm too far behind the basket. The last second, I can't shoot it off the glass. I got to shoot it straight. Oh, I accidentally kissed it in.
Did you see the game the other night? Yeah. His first shot that he made.
He did one of those. It's from like 4 feet as opposed to.
But that's his shot.
15 feet.
That's his shot, Skip.
Yeah. The running one-hander.
Off the glass with a kiss.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't behind the basket the other night, but that's okay.
Skip, at some point, you know what? Just go to the game. See, I think because what happened is that you've seen Michael play. If you were just to go out one time and see LeBron, everything will crystallize for you. You can see it.
I watch him every night. I watch every dribble night.
You in this purple haze, bro. Stay out of my dressing room.
Huh.
We could do a field trip to a Laker game.
A field trip.
What do you guys think?
I like it.
I can organize.
I like it.
I know someone
would. I like it, Skip.
Skip, could you break your rules?
It would hurt my profile, but.
Oh, hurt your profile? Jeez. All right, never mind. We're going back to the NFL. Brett Favre says Baker Mayfield will turn the Browns into winners. Is he right? We'll discuss that with D'Angelo Hall next. And I am still remembering that you just said that. Yeah. No mercy. Baker Mayfield has had an eventful start to his NFL career. Came off the bench to lead a comeback win over the Jets. Then he turned it over 4 times in an overtime loss to the Raiders. Yesterday, Hall of Famer Brett Favre had some very nice things to say about Baker. Let's take a listen.
I think he can be great. He's fun to watch. He's a playmaker. He's resilient. He's all those things. I tell you what, he's scrappy. And you know he's going to give you the best chance to win, and he's going to do it to the last whistle. The winners, they just have it. You know, some may call it cockiness. Some may call it overconfidence. Some may you call it whatever you want. But the winners have that little bit of air about them and how they carry themselves and then their playmaking ability. And just how, to me, equally as important is you just see a heightened enthusiasm when that player is in the game.
I like that word, scrappy. We are joined by FS1 NFL analyst D'Angelo Hall. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I am going to give the floor to Skip, though, on this
first
one. Sometimes I'm trying to win you over here. Do you agree with Favre?
I do. And there's part of that soundbite we didn't hear that he prefaced all this with. The guy who tipped him off to this thought was the great Ron Wolf, who built the original Packer team with Reggie White and brought Brett Favre from Atlanta that won a championship. And I know Ron Wolf, been around him. He was the greatest talent evaluator I was ever around. He really gets it. And what Brett said before what we heard was he was talking the other day to Ron Wolf because they keep in touch, and that Ron told him that when you're picking a quarterback, you cannot underestimate the winner intangible, that most people, they look at the combine result, the pro day result, but you have to look, is the kid made of the right stuff, whatever that winner thing is. And Baker Mayfield has that in him. And I'm not saying Baker Mayfield's going to be Brett Favre because Brett Favre was really good, and I'm not sure.
Three consecutive MVPs.
Yeah, there you go. And I don't think Baker is that gifted. I just don't. He's going to be really good, but is he a Hall of Famer? I don't know. I'm stopping short of that. But to Brett's point then, you have to look at what the intangibles are, because Baker plays on intangibles more than he plays on talent. Mm-hmm. And if you look at what he did at the University of Oklahoma in the 3 years he started there, he goes 34-6 as the starter. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Got them in the playoffs twice. Lost in the first round, but played very well in both games. And in those 3 years, they had awful defenses. Like, he was having to overcome, even in the final year, they ranked, I think, 56th overall in defense. They were not very good, as you know, because you were covering a lot of those games.
Yeah.
So he had to keep overcoming that. Mm-hmm. So I missed a little bit on Patrick Mahomes because I watched a lot of games at Tech. I didn't see this coming, and maybe he'll level out. Maybe right. He'll come back to earth a little bit. But the Mahomes I saw at Texas Tech, they didn't play any defense either.
Right.
But they went 13-19 with him as a starter. Well, I didn't see great intangibles. I didn't see him be able to lift a medium-talented team up to the top level of the Big 12, because they were not a top-level team. Look at his record against the top teams. It wasn't very good. He went 0-6 against Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, and then I can go down the line. Mm-hmm. So he didn't show me high winner, like contagious intangibles at Texas Tech. Well, right now, he's got weapons, he's got a coach who loves him, a dynamic offensive play caller, and so is he being lifted by all that? Well, obviously, the kid is extremely gifted, Patrick Mahomes mm-hmm. is, way more gifted to me than Baker Mayfield, but I still love Baker for what Brett Favre is talking about, which is that contagious, that rub-off effect, as he said, the heightened sense of enthusiasm you see when he just steps on the football field. Everybody's like, oh, we got this now, here we go, and you guys, as highly accomplished NFL players, can say, well, that only lasts so long in your league, and maybe that is true. But I still say it's an underestimated intangible that doesn't, like with Sam Darnold, I couldn't see any of that. I saw the pro day stuff. I saw the measurables, but in the immeasurables, I don't yet see it in Sam Darnold. So that's why I said I'll take Baker Mayfield over Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm. For me, I agree with some of them, but for the most part, I'm going to say no. Because you know what confuses me is when they say, oh, he's a winner. Let me tell you who won a lot in college. Jamarcus Russell, he won a national championship.
Yeah.
Mark Sanchez, Joy Harrington, Tim Tebow.
On Jamarcus, I can go back and show you. We don't have time to do this. But every time LSU played Florida or Tennessee or some big game, he did not play well. And he was a big interception thrower, too. But go ahead.
But they won a lot. Yeah. Most of the quarterbacks in the NFL, yeah. They won a lot. Mm-hmm. It's very few quarterbacks, Skip, that lose, especially if they go to prominent programs yeah. like an Oklahoma, like a Florida, like a Tennessee. For the most part, they're so supremely talented. That's why Mahomes at Texas Tech couldn't be Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Texas Tech is not getting 4- and 5-star recruits. They mm-hmm. might get 2s and 3s,
yeah.
but the 4 and 5, if they're going to go somewhere, they're going to the bigger school. Mm-hmm. But, and it helps also if Todd Haley lets you push the ball down the field, like, you know, Baker comes in, he's throwing the ball down the field. They got Tyrod throwing jailbreak screens and swing routes out the backfield, mm-hmm. but that's neither here nor there.
He's a game manager, right?
Yeah, when the coach, that's all the coach lets you do. But anyway, here nor there, Skip Bayless.
Yep. Look,
I think Baker can be good. I don't see him as Patrick Mahomes because I don't see him having the weapons that Patrick Mahomes has.
I don't think he has the physical weapons that.
No, he can't throw. Like, no, he's not arm talent.
No,
not like that.
Okay.
He doesn't have the ability to throw the ball like this kid can. But yeah. I think Brett sees a lot of himself in Baker Mayfield, minus the kamikaze style,
yep.
and this is why he's heaping the praise and adulation. Mm-hmm. I think that has a lot to do with it, Skip. When we see someone like ourselves that's yeah. playing the game,
mm-hmm. yeah.
it's natural. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. But, man, there's a lot of – there. I don't think anybody thought Brett Favre would be Brett Favre when he first started out, Skip. So it's hard to definitively say what a guy's going to be. Can we at least get, like, 4 or 5 games in?
Mm-hmm.
We saw a half. And we saw entire game. The half was great. The game, not so much. So, man, we're just so quick to anoint somebody.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, we always are. This day and age, we always see one big play, and wow, that guy's the next big thing, because we're always looking for that next big mm-hmm. star. I do think Baker has a winning quality.
Mm-hmm.
Like Shannon said, I can't go off of what he did in college, though, because he had a great team around him. Yeah. And he doesn't have that great team.
He did not have a defense. He did not.
His defense was probably – his defense, I would say, was comparable to what Cleveland's been putting out there on the field as far as overall statistics.
Well, I would have argued with you until this past Sunday.
Cleveland looked great at one point.
Where did they go? I don't know where they went.
They disappeared. But I know Ron Wolf, and I know what he puts the value on. He drafted me in Atlanta.
Oh, did he? I didn't
know that. Yeah. Ron,
he's a really smart
guy. And whenever I see Ron around, we always sit and talk about how he sees the game, how I see the game, how he, you know, how I see this player, how he sees this player. And it makes sense. I didn't know Ron had a part of getting Baker up, you know, up there in Cleveland. And
not had a part of that. He was just telling Brett. That's why I love this kid is because he's got that winner.
I thought he was in the front office.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, I need to see him do it on this level. Mm-hmm. And so, absolutely what Shannon said, Brett sees himself in Baker Mayfield. He sees a kid who plays the game with such emotion and such passion and runs around and has so much fun, can go hang out with the DBs, can go hang out with the receivers, with the O-line, the D-line.
They
when
like
you're
it.
In a locker room,
like that.
Most
like
quarterbacks
it.
Don't do that. Yep. They kind of stick to their, you know, they're more of the pretty boys. They stay over here, nice,
hang out with the backup
guys.
Quarterback.
Yeah, they're not the ones going out, hanging out, having beer with you. And when you run across a guy like that, it just brings you in. You want to play for him. You want to see him do well. And I just really think that's what it comes down to. Baker is a guy who you can genuinely sit down with and have a conversation with. Because he wasn't a golden boy. He was a walk-on. He
Twice.
Had to fight and claw his way, you know, into the national spotlight. Mm-hmm. And so that resonates with a lot of guys. Because for the majority of the guys in the National Football League, we don't play those positions that gets the limelight. And for a quarterback to get the limelight but still feel like one of the guys, you never run across that. That's what makes Baker, I think, a little bit different than that winner stigma gets thrown on him.
I think that's what made John Elway so special in our eyes, Skip, because he was a guy who he was. But in training camp, you know, we're playing cards, we're rolling dice, we're having a good time laughing and talking. And he come in there and he rolled dice, played cards with us. In training camp, he's like, okay, what are you guys doing tonight? We get a night off. He come hang with us. You know, we shooting basket, poppy shot, and he does that with us. So now we're looking at him like, he could be standing doing his own thing. He with us. Or he's married, got four kids. We go out. Hey, I'll be there for a minute. He come hang out with us. So that does play a lot because you don't want the quarterback. Yeah, you're the face of the franchise, and they treat you differently. But we don't want you to act different. They might treat you differently, but you better act like the rest of us.
Okay, what is Baker Mayfield made of? What do we see at the University of Oklahoma? He played, I thought, the best regular season game of the year a year ago was at Ohio State, and then what did he do? Took the flag and went to the middle of the field and stuck it in the ground. Did you love that? Did a lot of people, is that role model quality?
As
nope,
a teammate,
it's not.
I loved it.
Okay, that's bingo. And then he gets mad at the worst team in the Big 12, the Kansas Jayhawks, because they disrespected him during the coin toss. Yep. Somebody said something to him.
He wouldn't shake his hand. Remember, he tried to shake his hand.
And there were words exchanged, too. And he's like, he's grabbing his crotch to say, okay, how about this?
Yeah.
Role model? No.
Right.
But do the NFL people say, I kind of like that. Would teammates like that? Yeah, they did, right? And then what do you do before their biggest game of the year against TCU? One of the TCU kids dared to run across the back line while he was warming up on their end of the field. He just drills the TCU player in the helmet with the football. It was a good throw, too. Caught him right in the helmet. Okay, again, he's got some stuff to his game. You know, that's what he's made of. He's going to be combative. He's going to be feisty. He's going to, if you want to go fight after the game, he'll go fight you after the game. He's that kind of kid. Okay, do you like that? You want to play with that?
I do. Like Phillip Rivers a little bit. How Phillip Rivers, you're not used to seeing quarterbacks jaw back and forth.
Yeah.
And I remember playing against Phillip. We came out together, and he was always a talker. And I'm like, man, what is this dude from NC State doing all this talking? Yeah. But he kept doing it. And guys on his team loved and respected him for doing that.
Would he talk to you?
Yeah, he would talk to anybody.
Yeah.
He didn't care. He
from
did not
sideline,
care.
Yes.
From the sideline to the other, you know, you could be on the bench sitting there watching in the preseason, and Phillip's jawing from sideline to sideline. Like, it was something I had never seen from the quarterback position before. But guys on his team, like I was saying, they loved that about Phillip. Mm-hmm. You as an opponent, you hate it because you want to get that, you want to get him. You want to hit him, you want to hurt him.
Yeah, you're doing it on the top because you're protected.
You love him. Yeah, when you're playing with him, no, you love him. And that's kind of how Baker is. If you're an opponent, you hate him. You want to go, you want to hit him, you want to try to get to him, sack him, whatever, pick him off. But when you're on his team, it ain't nothing you wouldn't do for that dude.
Yep.
Okay. That's some intangible I can't measure.
Okay? measure it, though.
Is he 6 feet and a half inch tall? Yeah. Is he a little, like a little stocky built? You know, like, I don't think he has a great body exactly, but can he escape in the pocket? Yep, he can do that. Can he make plays? Yep. I still think he has a whip of an arm. It's not Dan Marino's arm, and it's not Patrick Mahomes' arm, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. Got to get him some. I mean, they got some. We'll see. They have Landry. They have Callaway. They got good running backs. Yeah. So we'll see. And Joku.
Wish he had Josh Gordon. That's a whole other story.
Wouldn't skip. Huh? He had him. Josh is gone now. You know what? You always want something that's always gone. You know what? At first, you didn't want Dez. Now you're talking about looking at what we got. I think Dez might be pretty good. Now you want Dez back.
Put the even in front. Even Dez would be better than what I
had.
Yeah, right? Like, that's not saying
why you always do that? You had him. You didn't want him.
I didn't.
The guy always wants the girl once she's gone.
Yeah, but he's desperate. He said that all day yesterday. Yeah. Desperate times, desperate measures. Mm.
We got the championship of Texas on Sunday night,
yeah.
Right?
Bragging
right.
That ain't no championship.
Yeah.
Come
Texas,
on, Texas.
It is.
It's a big weekend in Texas for you guys.
Mm. Can we get a case to do on it?
Probably. I'm a little shakier on this.
What you mean, probably?
I loved my chances against
Okay, Detroit, well, they're going
to
put the
and
do
it still
up.
Went to the last play of the game.
Go ahead and put the do.
Yeah. It's on. It's on.
Put the do.
Yeah. Because in the end, if Dak has to throw it to Zeke, he will throw it to Zeke, and the game will be over.
You're going
to
take
Thank
one play.
Much.
He made one over-the-shoulder catch in 3 years.
But wouldn't it? It was the play of the year in pro football.
I wouldn't go that far.
It was.
You see what he's talking about?
No,
the play.
No, think about it. You don't have any receivers. And finally, you're like a two-man offensive team, and the two just say, okay, let's just end this thing right here. Oh. I'll go line up as a wideout. I'll go line up in the slot, and I'll run a go route, and you throw it over my shoulder, and I'll catch it, and the game will be over. Am I right?
See what I'm saying? No.
No. It was a good play.
That's a play. Come That's on. A
it
play.
It ain't a play of the year.
Well, given the degree of difficulty, come on.
It's a routine play.
It's routine for a running back to catch it.
If he that, if you say he got hands like Le'Veon and Gurley.
I told you he's got better hands than Le'Veon.
You hear that?
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Well, you saw it.
I saw a great throw.
He made a great
catch.
Play.
Huh? Yeah.
But when it comes to, like, overall, I mean, Kamara moved up.
Remember, it came to that. That's all I got.
And that's what I'm trying to tell
right?
you. It took a historic performance from Zeke, and you kicked the game-winning field goal.
Mm-hmm.
You feel good about that?
Nope, I don't, honestly.
Let's see if he does it again. I'm looking forward to Sunday. Yep. D'Angelo, thanks for being here. You're going to be back a little bit later. But someone who's not afraid to speak his mind, Aaron Rodgers. Is everything okay
here we
with
go
he
again.
And his head coach?
Yep.
We'll discuss next. No mercy. So Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray was benched for the start of their game on Saturday after oversleeping, being late to practice. He then came in, threw 6 touchdown passes in a blowout win, ran for 1. Murray's hot start now has him with the second best odds to win the Heisman behind Tua Tagovailoa. And as I mentioned, Kyler has a big stage on Saturday at the Cotton Bowl against Texas. Mm-hmm. We have been looking forward to that one.
Yes.
All year.
Can't
we have
wait.
Joel Klatt joining us now. And we've been fortunate enough to spend some time with Kyler Murray. Mm-hmm. What do you think? What are his odds now to win the Heisman?
You know, he's playing unbelievable football, but there's a guy playing better football right now, and that's unfortunate for Kyler. There's a couple of factors at play here. One is that Kyler is doing basically what every other Oklahoma quarterback and really Lincoln Riley quarterback has done in the history of this system, you know, so you could make an argument that he's a byproduct of the system. Now, I happen to think that he's playing unbelievable. His feet are dangerous. He's throwing the ball down the field as well as anybody in the country. However, there's a guy right now playing college football that has taken the greatest program in the history of the sport to another level.
Another level.
That's tough to do. Think about these numbers. Jenny, when Alabama won their national championships under Nick Saban.
You don't have to convince her. You got to convince.
No, you got to
no,
convince
I mean,
me.
No, I'm all in.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
You're the easy part. Yeah. So I was just going to go the other way.
Thank you.
35 points per game is what Alabama averaged in their 5 national championship years combined. Okay? Not shabby, but not great.
Right.
54 points per game is what they're averaging right now. Number one scoring offense in college football. 19 points difference. I mean, are you kidding me? You're talking about close to three touchdowns. He's taken over in terms of throwing the ball down the field. 13.2 yards per attempt. That's way up from Alabama from what they were a year ago. 8.2 yards per attempt. Three incompletions total on third down. Three. Seven touchdowns in 21 attempts. By the way, he's averaging 18.5 yards per attempt on third down. Tua Tagovailoa has taken the greatest coach in the history of college football, the greatest team in the history in terms of a decade run, and he's ratcheted up what they've been able to do. Oklahoma's great. Kyler's great. It's virtually the same thing that we were seeing last year and the year before. This is just a different deal with Tua at Alabama.
Who's Bama play this time? Samford or Troy or who is it?
They got Arkansas.
Oh, that's right.
They're destroying everybody.
And by the way, he's doing this in one half of football every
year. Yeah.
I mean, this is,
can you
this
imagine?
Is like the quarterback version of what Barry Sanders did in 1988.
Can you imagine if he actually had to, if he could play in the fourth quarter, Skip? Or if he played late into the ball, late third quarter? I mean, think about this.
Well, then they'd win 100 to nothing.
That's true. That's true.
What about that?
It's Tua. Right now, Tua is Usain Bolt in 08 through 12. When he had such a, he's such, so far, if he doesn't pull a hamstring, is his trophy. And I know you look, Skip, he's not even in the top 100 in far as attempts at the quarterback position. The dude got 88 attempts. He got 14 tubs. Can I interest you in that, Skip? I mean, 88 completions. Can I interest you in that, Skip?
Nope.
You don't want that? He's taking a team. When you think Alabama, you think running backs and play defense. You don't think running backs anymore. Skip, in a six-year span, they had Eddie Lacy, Mark Ingram II, T.J. Yeldon, Kenyon Drake, Derrick Henry, and Alvin Kamara. You don't even know who the running backs are now because of this guy. See, we've seen, and that's what Oklahoma used to be known as a running back school. You remember Steve Owens and Billy Sims?
Do I remember him?
Yeah.
I think.
But then all of a sudden.
Well, he became your researcher, Steve.
And then come White and Bradford and Baker Mayfield. Now they're known more as a pass team. Alabama was known for running and playing defense. This is the first time that I can ever remember. And I go back to watching Coach Bryant when he had Major Ogilvy and all those guys running the wishbone. Alabama used to run the wishbone. You knew that. They were
poorly. They did.
Not with all them. Not quite like OU.
That's right.
not with all those national championships they got. But Skip Bayless, it's not even close. I don't even know. I mean, if Tua does not get hurt, because think about it. For the next four games, he's not going to be playing in the fourth quarter because they got, like, Arkansas. His real test is going to come with LSU.
LSU.
And probably SEC championship because they get Auburn at home.
And maybe Auburn, but, yeah, it's a home
game. But Tua got this one. Tua got this.
Really?
Because guess what, Skip? We need narratives. We still remember the second half against Georgia.
I'll give you narratives.
National championship.
Yeah.
He got it.
So I'm going to be an objective Oklahoma Sooner fan here.
Not.
Yes, I am.
Always.
I give Kyler Murray a good shot to win the Heisman Trophy because I think it might just get called the Heisman Trophy before this year is over because he is right on his tail and Tua is off to an all-time greatest start. There's never been a start like this quarterback has had through their five games. It's off the charts. But right on the same chart is the guy at Oklahoma because let's do my favorite stat, QBR. Tua leads the nation at 98. 98 on a scale of 0 to 100 is just it's just impossibly great.
Kyler's right there.
Guess who's at 97?
I get it.
98 to 97. Mr. Sharp, he's right on his tail with a 97. And let's do degree of difficulty because Alabama predictably is now tied for fifth in points allowed. Oklahoma is 51st in the nation in points allowed and 90th in yards allowed because I don't love me some Mike Stoops is the coordinator. I don't want to get you all in trouble here, but I know you got to go see him. But I just don't love – I know you said their defense looks a little better. I'm not sure about that. So the degree of difficulty for Kyler Murray is off the charts compared to Tua because he knows what the defense is going to do. It's just going to hand him the ball back again and again and again. And Kyler Murray, I'm starting to wonder – is it possible Lincoln Riley is a byproduct of Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray? Because
no.
Kyler Murray is legit. Because I had no idea. I'd seen him like once against Iowa State last year, whenever it was. You know, he ran one series when Baker got suspended. He is leaping off my TV screen because he's more accurate with more arm strength than I ever imagined. And the release is lightning quick.
And speaking of lightning, his acceleration
is
off the charts. It is Lamar Jackson-esque. It's right in the same ballpark on just pure.
You make it seem like Tua a snail.
Okay, he's not. He can run with it, but he isn't as electric as this kid's feet. These feet, it looks like he's stuck on fast forward when he takes off.
And what hurts you on that QBR argument, because you're right, like the QBR argument, I get it, right? And I'm not suggesting Kyler's not playing well, because he's playing fabulous football, and he's such a dangerous player to try to defend because he's explosive with his feet and he can hurt you with his arm. It's a really rare combination. Mm-hmm. But the problem is Baker just set the NCAA efficiency record 2 straight years. So this offense is built for QBR efficiency. I mean, that's what it does.
Okay, now, but you got to do it. You have to execute it.
Here's what I will give you. Mm-hmm. I'll come to your side a little bit. Mm-hmm. Here's what I will give you. I do think the Heisman Trophy is won by not only numbers but moments. And I'm fearful for Tua that you're not going to have a moment when you're in a baseball cap in the fourth quarter. Now, that's not his fault, like right. Barry Sanders mm-hmm. in 1988. But when you don't play in those big games, in those big moments, and you're not the impactful factor, mm-hmm. that can weigh on voters' minds, in particular when Kyler's got a game like this week in Red River against a defense that has not given up 17 points in 3 straight games True. Against a defensive coordinator in Todd Orlando that, by the way, is 2 of the last 6 times Lincoln Riley has been held under 30 points. It's been Todd Orlando defenses, once at Houston, once at Texas.
Yep.
So this is his moment. If Kyler is going to overtake Tua, I think he's got to do it this weekend. Mm. He's got to play great on this stage.
Not
going
to happen because nobody puts value. Look, Texas lost to teams who they've lost to. But we've seen, someone that comes up under Mike Leach. Name the quarterback that played in a Mike Leach system that hasn't thrown for unbelievable numbers. Name one quarterback.
And
they don't do anything in the NFL. But in college, from that system, they're going to throw for 15,000 yards. They're going to have 100-plus touchdowns. We've never seen in all of Alabama
games. Are you talking about Mike Leach's system or coached by Mike Leach?
No, Lincoln Riley. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Mike Leach's system. Okay.
To a
degree.
It's a little different.
I mean,
he cut his teeth under.
He might have taken a little bit of this and added his own little flavor to it. But what we're seeing with Tua and Alabama, when have you ever said Alabama's offense is better than his defense? In the history of that program.
Saban.
He ain't going to like this, St. Nick.
I don't.
He ain't going to like it.
And guess what?
He's going to lose credit here.
And guess what Tua has to do? Mm-hmm. He has to worry about Jalen Hurts because that style of play, Coach Saban doesn't love that. Mm-hmm. Guess what? If you just run the ball and play defense, Coach Saban. But now you got somebody that can spin it.
You think Coach Saban wants a Heisman winner at quarterback?
He's going to have one.
Hey, if it gets him another ring, he'll take it. Again, this is the most dominant decade we've seen in college football history.
Ever.
And this is maybe, I would say, arguably the greatest coach of all time. And this single player has taken them to just a different level.
Alabama in scoring.
That margin, for me, is
that seems oxymoronic, doesn't it, to you? Alabama in scoring offense.
54 points.
The number one defense since he's been there. So you know he's going to keep a stank over there on that side of the ball. And now he got somebody that can spin it like Tua. Mm-hmm. And those young receivers, Skip Bailey.
Jerry Judy.
What did Darrell Royal once say about the forward pass? 3 things can happen, and 2 of them are bad. So Tua is throwing a lot of forward passes. St. Nick is thinking 2 of the things that can happen are bad.
Because
he hadn't thrown half as many passes as Kyler Murray.
Do you know how many interceptions he has?
None.
0.
Is that good, Skip?
Well, guess how many Kyler has? 2. 17-2. Really?
14-0.
I mean, technically, that's 200% more than Tua, but
14-0, Skip.
98-97. He's coming.
Yeah,
here he's coming.
Pretty close. And
I agree. It is close, but man, Tua.
Set the stage for this Saturday.
I'm going to watch the stage. I think this is a Heisman type of game.
He needs to show up big.
It's a Heisman game.
How close is Dallas and Fort Worth actually?
To each other?
Yeah.
30 miles?
45 minutes.
Okay, they're close. Dallas, Fort Worth. Yeah. They're not that close. Mm. Tua and Murray, they're not that close. That's my only point, Skip. But the Roll Tide.
You guys gonna watch Saturday?
I'm gonna try to get
over here.
You mind if I get close?
What? I thought you liked watching this.
Yeah, get him on.
I'll just
lay out.
Do you get nervous watching OU?
Do I get nervous?
Yeah, I mean, are you like wound up about it?
Especially against these guys.
I tell you, this is gonna be a good one.
How I feel about this?
Yeah, I listen.
Don't do that.
I get it. This is the biggest Red River game since maybe Bradford McCoy in 08. Legitimate. Title aspirations for both
teams. I'm going to be watching and listening to my man Joel and my.
I sure wish your Oklahoma can get a hold of Alabama in an old championship game or something.
Yep.
Jenny will be on the field. She'll be interviewing.
Well, be careful because Bama's record against Oklahoma is not great.
We didn't even care about Trevor Knight because we was upset because that kick six. We was mad.
You can ask Kyler about holding the Heisman pose when he scores the winning touchdown.
That might be a little too soon.
Alabama about to have a run on
them. I'll tell him you say hey. Maybe. All right, Joel, thank you for being here. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Monday for another week of Undisputed. We'll see you then. Facts, sports, one of one.